Hello and welcome to Parking Thought, the show where we highlight the good in the world, from the extraordinary to the everyday. You're going to want to like and subscribe wherever you happen to find us. Curiosity, meet gratitude. My name is Jacob and I'm glad you're here today. In this edition, I'm going to be talking to you a little bit about a phone call exchange I had with the Utah State University Alumni Department. Yes, so I am an alumnus of Utah State University. I had a great time while I was there. Now let's understand a little bit more about this here. So I was definitely a non-traditional student. In high school, I'd barely graduated by 2 points on a math final. And in the military, once I'd learned some of the discipline and the ability to adapt to things and be a bit more structured, I started taking college classes on nights and weekends and was very successful at that. By the time I got to Utah State, I had already been a staff sergeant in the Army for quite some time. I had 2 deployments under my belt to Iraq, and I was off on college campus at 28 years old and 2 kids, 1 on the way. I was definitely a non-traditional student. And so, you know, I learned and studied at Utah State, and I did reasonably well. We had our 3rd child while we were there, and all of this stuff just kind of kept going forward. Well, you know, USU is a great campus with excellent educators, and they are absolutely awesome. Now, they also represent an industry that I think, like Mike Rowe does, that they don't necessarily have a lock or a monopoly on having the world's information. In fact, the majority of the world's information that's created is outside of the university system. And so, you know, while a university experience is great, if you're a lifelong learner, it is not a requirement. Now, for some employment purposes, they still look for degrees and they scrub based upon that. And those are very real things, but that is not true everywhere and not true anymore. And I think that we're in the beginning of a shift away from the college degree being worth so much, or at least from a societal perspective. Now, this doesn't mean that I don't believe people should be educated. This doesn't mean that I believe that school is bad. This just means that, you know, schools now have to compete, especially universities need to compete that with, you know, other opportunities that exist out there. I recently actually exited taking classes from on agriculture. I wanted to learn, January 2020 was one of my goals, was to start learning more about agriculture. And why? Because I work for an agricultural company and it just kind of made sense. You know, to be able to be a more effective employee at the company, I wanted to learn more about the different parts of that business and how it works and functions. And what I discovered as I started taking these classes was that I was actually learning from somebody who was very good and very prominent, but the course curriculum, that style of learning, right, where we calculate semester hours, it was a 3-semester-hour class, so therefore I had to dedicate 9 hours a week to the learning in the model that they had prescribed, and that prescription was very, very taxing on my limited time, especially since I wanted to continue podcasting and being able to share things with you guys. And so it really came down to, well, where am I going to see more value over time? And also the other part I realized is that I had access to better information inside of the organization that would help teach me about the way the agricultural industry works, both at the micro and macro level, than what I was seeing from the curriculum from the school. Now, if I were starting off from zero, right, that school avenue would have been great. That would have been really good to have. But I'm not starting from zero. I'm starting from, I know how to be a lifelong learner. I know how to gather information. And I'm surrounded by people I can work with as mentors and coaches to help me understand how things fit in context and how they actually work and have practical examples. And so instead of having to be able to sit there for the 9 dedicated hours a week to be able to do the curriculum and material in the format that they wanted, I've decided to just continue to be a self-learner and lifelong learner and move on. Now, not everybody's like that. And especially when you're younger, you tend to find yourself wanting to have that structure. Again, that structure that I needed in the military. Some of that structure is available. And what makes school attractive, especially a university setting, is that structure being there and being available. And I don't deny that. So let's go back. Utah State University's alumni department calls me up every year and asks me if I want to donate to a fund specifically designed to help struggling students. right? Struggling students who are dealing with the financial burden of being able to pay for classes. And the nice young lady who is calling me this time, I just, you know, so great, like early 20s, late teens, you know, bubbly and happy and just like, hey, are you willing to donate? And I said, all right, let's have this conversation again. You know, and I explained to them again that there are three components of any system: flow, feedback, and continuous learning. We've talked about this on this podcast, right? Flow, feedback, and continuous learning. And that the university model of education is a part of a flow, feedback, and continuous learning system. In fact, they should be the ones championing for the idea on the proliferation of teaching people that flow, feedback, and continuous learning are a thing. However, university tuition on the whole has absolutely gone up and up and up and up and up and up and up across the entire university system all over the place. This could be because, just like in medicine, we tend to now have a single payer, right? The federal government is the single payer of university, you know, expenses. Although parents might feel like they are, right, in aggregate with the loans and other things that are going on out there that are backed by the federal government tends to be the single largest payer, and they don't have an incentive to make the cost of school cheaper. Now, Utah State University tries to serve and does a very good job passionately serving students who may struggle financially to be able to go to school. And I sympathize with those students who are financially struggling to go to school. However, if I were to donate to that fund, and this is exactly what I told this nice young lady, if I were to donate to that fund, right, it would not encourage the university to reduce their tuition. It would encourage the university to increase their tuition. Everything else in our lives has gotten cheaper, right? Everything else in our lives has gotten cheaper. Your devices that you are using have gotten cheaper. The food that you buy has gotten cheaper, right? And yet, the university system has gotten significantly more expensive as far as an experience goes, even though the knowledge that is available to help somebody learn things is more prolific outside of the university system than ever. And so I told, you know, this nice young lady all of these things, and my wife was sitting next to me, and she's like, oh, I'll bet you that young lady didn't want to hear this. And you know, honestly, she felt kind of like, oh, wow, I never thought of it that way. And again, I think it's missing from part of the university education: flow, feedback, and continuous learning. How do systems work and operate? They study the systems of the body. They study, you know, systems in cells. They study systems in plants. They study systems of basic fundamental organisms, but we don't take that knowledge and we don't apply it to the systems that we are participating in. I love Utah State. I think they provide an excellent education. I did not donate to that fund. And the nice young lady asked me at the end of it, she said, well, do you want me to take you off the list? And I said, well, no. Just next year, tell me how much you do reduce tuition by, and I'll gladly help support you, you know, by helping students stick around. But until you guys reduce tuition costs, why would I give you an incentive that would only encourage you to increase it and then only encourage the system to ask for more of these funds from its alumni? Now, if Utah State was going to be building a new sidewalk or doing something else to improve the campus, and that's where the funds were going, I'd seriously consider being able to contribute so that way the experience on campus would be better. I love USU. One of the great things about it, if you've never been there, is it is in Logan, Utah, and it is literally nestled at the bottom of a canyon. And it was such a fun experience. I would ride my bike up to school because we didn't live that far away. I'd ride my bike up to school. And then if I wanted to get some additional exercise in during the day, I could literally leave between classes. Like if I had an hour between classes, I could get on the bike, I could go up the canyon, right, get a good run in or a good bike ride in, and then ride back and then finish out the rest of my day on campus in my classes. And it was awesome. Now, one of the things that happens when you're that close to a canyon is what we call canyon winds. For some reason, wind comes down a canyon pretty fierce. And so there was one morning when we were running, and the wind tends to be a little stronger in the morning. We were running into the mouth of the canyon. There was a 7% decline on the road that we were running on down into the canyon that we were going to head back into town. And I'm with a bunch of the other folks that are in ROTC with me, and we're going and we're doing this run, and literally it felt like the wind was pushing me back uphill. It was that strong. And it, great memories from those experiences, great memories from the educators who were there. They are passionate about teaching students. They are dedicated to doing that. They love their students, and I have loved the experience of having been there, and I want more people to be able to have that experience. But if we only incentivize schools and educators to be able to increase costs, when the reality is they need to recognize they're competing against non-traditional education systems, then I don't think that's going to help us out in the long run. So that is kind of an odd bit of parking thought, because we usually talk about gratitude and curiosity, and it may sound like I'm not terribly grateful because I didn't donate any money. The reality is I am grateful. Being grateful doesn't mean that I'm willing to facilitate a part of a system that I think is destructive. And we should probably talk more about how systems can be created by well-meaning people to do well-meaning things, but actually turn out to be very, very caustic and destructive. So let's wrap this up there with that little tease at the end. And this is the part where I tell you that the best way to say thank you for this episode is to share it with someone you know. And if you know the young lady I was talking to at Utah State University, please share this with her, because she was so wonderful, so enthusiastic, and I really did appreciate her reminding me of my great memories that I had there. If you're joining us just for this episode, that's fine. We're glad you can make it. If you want to stick around for the long haul, head on over to parkingthought.com or wherever you find your podcast, and you should be able to subscribe, right? So if you're on Spotify, Library, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, all of those things, you should be able to find a subscribe link. Go ahead. If it's on YouTube, hit that bell, because that'll let you know when the latest episode publishes, right as it's ready and fresh for you guys. And at the end of every episode, I like to finish with this challenge, that we should remember, in a world where we can literally choose to be anything, why not choose to be grateful?